like we removed pond with the traders, nor still can they transfer the knowledge to a sentient being. It's only through teaching that Buddhists have sentient beings. So this citation lays or explains or gives the rationale for teaching the four truths. By the way, please be frank in expressing your doubts, reservations, any queries you have about the teaching I gave last time, as well as this session. I will give half an hour at the end. So, your question needn't be necessarily the best type of questions. Any question is good question. Quotation begins with the word chukwang. The Sanskrit word is the munindara, or the Tibetan word is chukwang. And chuk means one who was successful in overcoming dark forces or negative propensities. Not only was the Buddha, for that matter, not only are all Buddhas successful in that, they have totally vanquished and they have conquered all negative propensities and unpleasant consequences arising from these. So Buddhas, one of the Buddhas invariably think of as to how they can work for sentient beings, how they can help. And as they rake their brains, as it were, how they can help, they realize that Buddhas are simply unable to give oblation and then wash away negative things of sentient beings. As said before, nor can they have also realized that they cannot physically remove, as they do with the traces, thorns and splinters, the suffering of sentient beings and underlying causes. Unfortunately, Buddhas also cannot transfer their knowledge and their freedom to sentient beings. If only it was possible, Buddhas would not hesitate to do that. And the only avenue left for Buddhas to help sentient beings, unfortunately, is by speaking by showing the power of truth and the way of the truth. And so for us to hear the word of the truth and make the truth a path for one to freedom is only through that Buddha helps sentient beings.
The 먼저 코어나 눈물 중에 제대 아니 제대 가서는 군주 그런 식으로 기미 사이 군주대 같은 거 민수 연반을 어떻게 눈물 중에 제대 아니 제대 뭐 투나 지파 기미 제대
그 당부자 동네 때문에 좀 군주 때문에 좀 군주 때문에 so as I said before, this quote, this four-line citation lays the foundation for the teaching of the Four Noble Truths. How? When it says Buddhas cannot wash sentient beings, it has a reference, this line has reference to the first of the Four Truths. The first of Four Truths in terms of cause and effect order is the truth of origin of suffering. So, the second line says, Buddhas cannot wash, Buddhas cannot remove with their own hands, sweep, remove, pluck, suffering of sentient beings with their own hands. This has reference to, or this indicates, the second truth of suffering, truth of suffering. And here, of suffering, there are three kinds, not just the manifest, painful experiences of body and mind, and the changing nature of pleasure into pain. Also, the surreptitious, the insidious suffering of pervasive conditioning. So, the second line has reference to the removal, has reference to the truth of suffering itself, and Buddha says, the way to remove suffering is for us to be analytical and to see where do sufferings come from and identify the origin and then try to stop the cause to start with in the knowledge that if the causes are not created, resultant suffering will not originate in a dependent way. So this shows the way of the knowledge of the interdependent as a way to overcome suffering. With regard to suffering, as I've just noted, in teaching, there are three kinds of suffering. But the second line says, Buddhas cannot remove the suffering of beings with their hands. The suffering doesn't refer to only removal of suffering by hand, does not refer only to the suffering of actual physical pain and just distress. That is possible even medically. If you have some physical problem, you go to see a doctor, the doctor gives you medication, and the nurses help you to overcome the physical pain. And physical pain can be overcome. But overcoming suffering doesn't refer only to that. Even if one succeeds in overcoming that, overcoming the first suffering, there are many more suffering, deeper level of suffering still remain, and it is with regard to this that Buddha says, Buddhas cannot do away their suffering with their hands.
통호제 만들고 시작을 해. 컨디션 시작을 했잖아. 그, 만들고 시작을 해. 늠말 시작을 해. 늠말 파워시에고 해. 늠말 파워시에까지 늠말송, 늠말송까지 파워시에고 해. 늠말송까지 파워시에까지 가를 모르는데, 늠말이 큰지, 아니, 문주되기 전에, 훈주를 해야 훈주도 매워서 오고. 훈주 매웠었는데, 가를 했잖아. 아니, 람을 해. 현재 코너가 이제 람지인가? 나도
So, as you all know, Buddhas are a refuge, and therefore Buddhas are, we believe Buddhas can help us to be free, free from the three kinds of suffering. And so, when talking about freeing us from suffering, where do we naturally explore as to where sufferings originate from, and they originate from the truth of origin of suffering, which are mainly negative karma and all kinds of delusions. So for us to succeed in putting end to suffering, the effect, we need to understand that we need to avoid and restrain, and therefore not create causes in the first place, therefore not giving chance for an effect without cause to arise. So that we challenge and therefore overcome origin of the suffering with the truth of path, which Buddhas have on their mind, their wisdom consciousness is path. But unfortunately, Buddhas cannot, as pointed out before, Buddhas cannot transfer their knowledge, the truth of path, to us. And yet, they are supposed to help us. So, the path, the truth of path is the real antidote, is the real means with which to stop creating the truth of origin of suffering, that is delusions and bad karma. And the truth of path available, existent in a Buddhist consciousness, would not help us. We need to develop the truth of path in our own consciousness, in our own mind stream. And it is possible to develop, cultivate, and retain the truth of path in our consciousness. How? If we embrace what is called the three forms of higher training in ethics, concentration, and wisdom. There's no doubt, according to Buddha, anyone who embraces and practices and grounds their life in three higher training will succeed in ridding and in annihilating the seed of suffering. And the seed of suffering lies in delusions and karma.
그러나 이제 일단 또 개별이 가다 유마색을 해야지. 그러나 지금 산지를 이제 또다 난도 유마색을 해도 되게 많다. 근데 딱 유마색이 또다 가르게 로지지랑 로지 또다
So, we do know that we need the cutting-edge knowledge that really addresses the problems caused by the first true truth, truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering. And that knowledge is indispensable. And a knowledge in the continuum of somebody else, knowledge somebody has will not help us directly address the problem that one as an individual has. So for one to succeed, one has to develop the same cutting edge knowledge that Buddhas have. When it takes root in our consciousness, then that knowledge will put an end to the problems of the first two truths.
그게 지금 이제 우리 비행기 같은 게 공부를 하죠. 사실 차타 그 정도 얘기.
비행기 그수를 알려줄 수
있어. So Krishna has seen some suffering.
이제 신이 대마트는 이제 도와지기지. 근데 다 난지 이제 능하게 능하게 타야 좋아하지
So, the knowledge that we need will form the third truth, the truth of path. The path is consciousness here. Wisdom, consciousness, knowledge. And Buddha in the last line says, I'll help free sentient beings by revealing, by showing the truth of ultimate reality. And how can we be, how can we be freed by the truth? With the truth, we will see where we make mistakes and what are the reasons for mistakes. And that knowledge has a far-reaching implications on the choices that we make in our behavior. And so it is through truth, revealing the truth, that we achieve what is called dolwa. Dolwa means freedom or liberation. Liberation from suffering, liberation from what we call samsara, or liberation from the bondages of delusion. So, one has to have some sensitivity to embrace, or to want to embrace, the path shown by the Buddha, and develop reasoned faith or conviction in the infallibility of the word of the Buddha about how things actually are and how cause and effect function and how all our sufferings arise from dependently on their causes and so on. So, with that knowledge, if we embrace the word of the Buddha, and then more important, live our life as much as possible by the word of the Buddha, then we will restrain from the creating the causes, and finally be free from the first two truths.
Only if you are not in the world, you can't do it. You can't do it.
So in this suggestion, in this stanza of Pauline citation, the first two lines talk about the first two truths, and first two truths which are objects that we need to overcome, shun, remove, and be free from. Just because something is a truth doesn't mean it is always good. So the first two truths are painful, suffering, and the causes of suffering we need to shun. The next two lines of the stanza then reveal the way to free and the state of freedom from the first two truths. And the last two lines reveal the last two truths which we need to cultivate and attain. To see, we can also see that this stanza revealing the three refuges. The refuge of the Buddha, refuge of Dharma, refuge of Kunjo something. And the first line, Tupnam means the Munindra, the able ones. It reveals the Buddha, and the next two lines and a half thereabout. These two lines and two and a half lines reveal Dharma, and the last line reveals Sangha. Here the great Tibetan master Lama Tsongkhapa praises the Buddha by saying, "You have shown a spiritual system of shunning, elimination and adoption and practice. You have shown that there are processes to overcome the undesirable, for example, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering are things that we need to, and that afflict us, and that have afflicted us all lifetimes, and therefore things should overcome. And then you have shown, you have also shown the technique and the means by which these can be overcome, these can be vanquished, by way of the second true truth. Your work, therefore, is grounded in truth and reality. Very few works in the world today are as grounded in truth as yours."
Shiva
So it is by as the last line says, it is by revealing the truth that Buddha has free sentient beings. And indeed, if we can see the truth about how things work, how things actually are, and that knowledge helps us be in a state of the peace, not temporal peace, but a lasting, permanent peace. And this helps us be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. And therefore, this is seeing the truth is of technical or of crucial importance, such that if we see the truth and know the truth, and more important, ground all that we do in truth of how things work in terms of causation and so on, then the way we live our lives grounded in truth will certainly free us from suffering, the first two truths.
That's
So remember last time I started with Nagarjuna's letter to the friend, in which he was addressing a king who happened to be his friend and who was spiritually orientated but didn't have time to practice teaching and so on. So now, next Nagarjuna says, although my composition lacks the beauty of diction and literary style and literary standards, but the content that I convey to you are beautiful and helpful. For example, somebody is really hungry, dying for some food, and then at that time, somebody, two people come to that person. Would you like something to eat? And another one says, have this one, eat it. And although the way they say are quite different, but the message is to help the person overcome hunger. And therefore there's no difference in the content of the, in the message of the two statements which differ greatly in style and manner. It seems to me that while he is respectful in addressing the king, at times Nagarjuna is quite frank and blunt in speaking his mind to the king. So maybe you'll find me sometimes somewhat blunt as well.
Then I'm the CDB, 산지기 예전 통대기 미진 거이나 산지기 때 그저 심리 대장인이다. 에 누워내서 대장인이다. 그래서 내 대장인이다. 체험 내봐. 산지기 그저 이제 통화산지 대변관이 되라니 체험도 그저 체험 안지. 산지기 예전 대미로 나도 심리학군이 너의 대를 내기더니 체험이 맞다. 산지기 예전 안산에 대한 체험이 되기를 와라.
So here Nagarjuna says, just as someone who has deep reverence and a love for Buddha, by seeing transcendent qualities the Buddha has, so once somebody has this kind of a deep love for Buddha, and respect for the Buddha, in terms of the qualities, that person will venerate, worship, make offerings to any relief image of the Buddha, whether the image is made from wood, clay, silver, gold. The person doesn't see the image from the material point of view. The person only makes offering to any image of the Buddha made from any substance on the basis of what that image represents. So, two lines of this stanza cleverly teaches one of the precepts of refuge. And the precepts of refuge says, one as a Buddhist will respect to any images of the Buddha, regardless of material quality and how they are made. Often, some Buddhist people tend to have different sort of attitudes with regard to different images of the Buddha. If the images are made from gold and brocade and so on, they think that's holier and must be looked after more carefully. Then if the image is made from clay and wood, and particularly if the images are not well made by the artist, then there are some people who think, oh, not that beautiful, therefore it could be put down on the floor or something like that, on the lower ground. So this line quite cleverly suggests that one who has found true understanding of Buddha's qualities, then we shall not make distinctions of the images of the Buddha as being better and worse in terms of the material qualities. So this is similar to somebody who has a picture of a black and white picture of their mother and the colored picture of their mother. You know, for somebody who really loves their mother for what mother represents, what his mother represents to him, what she means for him in his life, that person who truly loves their mother, they will care about the teachers very well, and therefore wouldn't make distinction in the way he would relate to the two pictures. And then in the next two lines of the stanza he says, although the diction of my composition is wanting, but the composition in poor diction and style truly touches upon the word of truth spoken by the truth, and therefore, O King, you dare not neglect my the words, the message I've conveyed here in not so good diction. The next stanza then says that you may have a prior knowledge of the teaching of the Buddha, nevertheless, it is still beneficial and helpful to receive reinforcement. So that's what he says in the next stanza. So, in the next stanza, he says, although you may heard and you may know the word of the Buddha and the word of wisdom of the Buddha, still it is worthwhile to have a reinforcement for reasons of grounded practice and for reasons of deeper familiarity with what you know. He offers an analogy for these. For example, if there's a house, if there's a white house, white because it's washed with a painted white, or it's made from white marble, regardless of how it is white, if there's a white house. So by nature, the house is already white. However, when the white house receives moonlight in the autumn sky, cloud-free sky, the whiteness becomes more brilliant. It only enhances the already deep quality it has. So later reinforcement will not do any harm. In fact, it will only deepen and deepen understanding one already has. So after this point, Lavajuna was calling upon the king and trying to convince the king how the king should take on board the message conveyed in the letter. So if this teaching, if this session were Lamrim teaching, Lamrim teachings always have preliminary, the actual part and the conclusion. So by covering the first few standards, we have covered the introduction. So the Lamrim, when you listen to Lamrim teachings, the preliminaries take a long time to cover. The preliminaries like the six preliminary practices, the seven preliminary practices, then all the teachings about, you know, how to relate to the Guru and so on. So they take a long time before you actually touch the real topic. But here, there are only two stanzas. So now from the actual message which helps the king begins with a stanza in which he spells out who should Buddhists turn to, and therefore spells out the objects of refuge. So now, there's no point reaching the Tibetan and let me go straight to it. The first stanza deals with identifying objects of refuge. And here it is called six remembrances. Six things that we need to remember called Jesusdhamma, means the remembrances. What do we need to remember? We need to remember six things, King says. Nagarjuna says, they are Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, and practice of generosity, practice of ethics, and remembrance of what is called deity. So these are called Jejin, things we need to remember frequently. So, if there are six things we need to remember and hold in our mind, so how do we remember the Buddha, if a question is asked? So how do we remember Buddha? What do we remember Buddha as? We need to remember Buddha as an individual person or being who has who has cleared away and therefore totally freed themselves of two obstructions called obstructions to liberation, nirvana, and obstructions to highest Buddhahood. So sang means somebody who has cleared away. Ge means somebody whose knowledge Ge from character. So Ge means I can do it, but I'm trying to engage my following friends here and have their input. So literally it says, chakto, a consciousness which is not attached, in other words, stuck. Attached here means stuck. Top means are not blocked by something else. So an expanded consciousness, not stuck in small issues, making them important, and all a consciousness which is blocked by anything. So expanded consciousness, meaning omniscience. What is he saying, to put it simply, is Buddha in the beginning was like us, an ignorant person, suffering person. Then that person who was suffering, who was not fully aware of truth, became conversant with the system, became aware of the path, and became highly knowledgeable about everything. So that's called Buddha. So in the beginning, Buddha was like any ordinary person, conceited, although it didn't know much, was very presumptuous and gave an air of being knowledgeable and also ignorant, but didn't show his true ignorance, tried to hide all the ignorance. But he saw these as mistakes and things that obstructed Buddhas, saw these as obstructions that stopped them from moving forward, and therefore overcame all these. So shows quality of being free from undesirable blockages or obstructive elements. So the first remembrance is called remembrance of the Buddha. I've just explained to you from the text what exactly remembrance of the Buddha is. So now that you have some information about that, whenever remembrance of the Buddha should give you a note of optimism in the knowledge that indeed the teachings told me that Buddha in the beginning was like me and any other human being or species in samsara, suffering, ignorant, deluded, and so on. But Buddha overcame that. Maybe if I follow suit the technique Buddha adopted, took on board, maybe I can be like Buddha. I can be a Buddha myself. So remembrance of the Buddha should give us great hope for our own enlightenment. Does anyone need to go to the toilet, by the way? We can stop here if anyone needs to go to the toilet. So, have a break, please. Have a break, maybe 5 or 10 minutes. So when we remember Buddha, we shouldn't remember Buddha by way of seeing Buddha as an image on the altar, gold statue or a painting. Buddha should be understood as someone who became free of two obstructions, and therefore who was completely free of all obstructions of delusion, bad karma, propensity, and who is possessed of the power of omniscience and the cutting edge knowledge about the true nature of how things actually are, and how that began as a process of spiritual evolution, how an ignorant being can become enlightened. And therefore, when we think of Buddha, we should think of Buddha as such, and more important, that we ourselves can be that, a very Buddha. So the second remembrance is the remembrance of Dharma. So what is Dharma? Dharma shouldn't be thought of as just scriptures. Rather, Dharma should be thought of as the vast body of the teaching given by the Buddha, falling into three main areas of Abhidhamma, of metaphysics, code of ethics, and discourses. And how these three major branches of the teaching boil down to covering two things: to the path and to the succession. So we need to understand Dharma. By Dharma we mean those three branches of teaching covering the second two truths, to the path and to the succession. So these are true Dharma, which if we develop can really redefine our thinking and our behavior. The third is remembrance of Genden Sangha. Genden means literally virtue aspirants, people who aspire to virtues. So, remembrance of the Buddha, by remembrance of the Buddha, we should think of Bodhisattvas dwelling in 10 Bodhisattva grounds. And Bodhisattvas are, you know, spiritual heroes, altruistic, dauntless spiritual heroes who are on their way to evolving into Buddha for the greater good of all sentient beings. So, for Sangha, when we think of Sangha, we should think of a community of such altruistic, selfless beings on the way to being Buddhahood, on being Buddha, I should say. Mind you, there are sankhas of, Hinayana. Is it Hinayana? The Hinayana sanghas. And Hinayana sangha members and Hinayana arahats. They have profound spiritual qualities of ethics, concentration and wisdom. And they have attained the state of a nirvana. But their attainment is only good for themselves. They are not good to anyone else. For when they started off their practice, solely for personal reason, for personal relief from all suffering. To this end, they have achieved their individual goal. And because they lacked the will to reach out to sentient beings, while they have great qualities, they practically are not good, because they wouldn't proactively reach out. They are sort of frozen in the cozy niche of a nirvana, only blissful, only good for themselves, and lost in, blissed out in nirvana. Whereas the bodhisattvas, when they start their practice, they embark on their practice on the premise that they will do anything possible for the greater good of all sentient beings, and to this end, they leave no stone uncovered in doing everything possible for their spiritual development, for the greater good of sentient beings, and therefore it returns to them because they are programmed, their thinking is passioned by altruism. Beings who seek guidance will receive from such people. So, when we think of Sangha, when we do the practice of remembrance of Sangha, we need to think of the community of Sangha members, on the 10 Bodhisattva grounds. The community of Sangha members stretch across the 10 Bodhisattva grounds and then the Buddha. So if we turn to 11 types of Sangha community, Bodhisattvas on 10 Bodhisattva grounds and the Buddhas, then since they want to help people, and if we turn to them, not only do they want to help, they also have developed the know-how to best help beings, we will receive protection, guidance on the path to freedom. So why is it worthwhile to turn to the Sangha community of Bodhisattvas on the 10 grounds? For example, the first Bodhisattva ground is called the joyous ground. And all Bodhisattvas on the 10th ground, by definition, are possessed of 12 special qualities of doing 100 things in one instant. In one instant, the first of 12 qualities to do 100 things in one instant is, in one instant, they're able to go to 100 Buddha fields, 100 Buddha fields, receive teaching from 100 Buddhas, and at the same time, reach out to 100 sentient beings and give teaching and ripen sentient beings spiritually, or bring 100 sentient beings to spiritual maturity in one instant. In other words, in an instant, these Bodhisattvas are able to do 100 things of 12, 100 times of 12 things. And then the ability of the Bodhisattvas on the falling ground increase by 100 folds. The Bodhisattva on the 10th ground, for example, as I just pointed out, they want to help. By definition, they want to help, because they are spontaneously altruistic. Although it was trained, but by this time they are spontaneously altruistic. And while they want to help sentient beings, at times they are faced with challenges, not knowing how to help the sentient beings. And therefore, they have this gift, spiritual quality of, for example, being able to go to 100 Buddhas in one instant, ask questions they received from sentient beings to which they didn't have answer for, but they would refer to the Buddhas, get the answer, and then, you know, and then satisfy the needs of sentient beings who put the 100 questions, for example. So, the third remembrance is, the fourth remembrance is remembrance of giving or generosity.
Jimatam,
So, since this is a message to the king, and the fourth remembrance is a remembrance of our generosity, the spirit of generosity, and which will translate into being able to part with kings, to sublime beings as the Buddhas, Gurus, Sangha, and so on, to sentient beings in need, to the needy, to in charity, and so on, or to travelers who have covered that, who have traveled the whole day and not fatigued by journey. And anyway, what we need to do is we need to cut through in our ability, in our resistance, in parting with what we have, in giving, in helping others. And this practice of generosity is another way of a practice of altruism, in helping others. And we can't learn to be generous when we are held back by attachment to our own possession and difficulty in parting with. So, learning to be generous is not only good for one's spiritual growth and enriches our sense of altruism through generosity, but it incidentally ensures before we reach state of security of nirvana or Buddhahood, it ensures our own material well-being. Although it is wrong to give, it is wrong to be generous just for that end. We need to learn to give more to help rather than to secure one's own material security. So the fifth is remembrance of Shila or Tsultim ethics, right contact. So the Tibetan word for right contact is Tsultim. Tsultim. So, Tsul, of course, Tim means the law, Tsul means system, and a code of behavior, a code of conduct, which is in line with the system that ensures our spiritual growth and spiritual growth and Buddhahood. So anything that is in a code of behavior which is in line with that ensures our spiritual growth, growth in terms of attaining nirvana or Buddhahood.
Right.
the Kim law, for example, the law, you know, the army or the soldier, or for that matter, the police have to abide by, which is, you have to shoot anyone who creates trouble, whether it is your parents. And if you enter such a discipline, and if you agree to that, also by doing that you have obeyed the law, that law is not in accord with what ensures happiness. Whereas a cautious behavior, called a virtuous behavior, is in line with, is in accord with the system or the way which ensures lasting happiness. So, Chultim or Shila. So when we think of ethics as one of the six remembrances, the fifth one, we need to remember ethics not as infringement of our right to do what we want, rather a way of moral strength, of being able to willingly restrain from 10 negative actions of a body, speech, and mind. And that willingness to refrain from 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind is not taken as infringement of our rights, but rather as a way of freedom from unseen sufferings. And therefore, we need to remember ethics, the right concept, as the ground, as the foundation, of all spiritual realization, all spiritual growth. And as I said before, the way we can develop the cutting edge knowledge that will help cut through the first two, truth is wisdom, understanding the true nature of reality. So Buddha says the three forms of training are dependent on each other. In other words, ethics is the basis for the development of concentration. Without ethics, which requires sense of mindfulness about one's way of life and behavior, without that kind of a basic mindfulness, concentration, which is a highly fine-tuned mindfulness, is not possible. Without that highly tuned, single-pointed mindfulness, wisdom that we need, the sword of wisdom, the cutting-edge wisdom that we need to develop, will not be potent enough. Whilst we may have a haphazard awareness of wisdom, for that wisdom to be effective, it has to be maintained constantly in our mind. For that we need concentration, for that we need ethics. Therefore, ethics is the groundwork.
Then I
So we also, by remembrance of ethics or right conduct, we also bear in mind that conscious restraint from harmful action, harmful thought, harmful speech, lays the foundation for temporal goodness, and ultimate goodness. Temporarily, this foundation ensures that we are always reborn in the upper tiers of samsaric hall or samsaric in samsara, as humans or as celestial beings with a spiritual propensity and so on. And it also lays of then foundation for ultimate goodness in terms of liberation only for oneself or liberation for the sake of all beings and reaching out to all beings. For this, we need to have the foundation of ethics. So, for example, if one has a field, in fact, if one has many plots of a large field in which if you grow and you prepare the field, weed the field, you know, remove the weeds, prepare the field, and then sow healthy seeds, different kinds of healthy seeds, that these fields would produce rich yields, bumper crops, whatever one has grown. And the same way, the stronger we are in consciously refraining from more harmful things, the wider the ground, the stronger and the more expensive is the ground or the foundation of our temporal and ultimate goodness. So, if we practicing consciously restraint from negative actions, we will reap the temporal fruit of rebirth in that upper desire realm and the form realm as celestial beings or gods and goddesses. And the life of gods and goddesses or celestial beings are simply unimaginable in terms of pleasure and bliss. And therefore, remembrance of God here doesn't refer to deities, transcendental deities. Here it refers only to God, mundane God and goddesses in desire realm and the form realm. So these are six remembrances. So I will stop here from Nagarjuna's writing. And as I said before, now I'm going to give you time to ask questions. Yes. Oh, sorry. Yes. could you speak in English? No, you speak English. It's good for people. 能
对。那那普遍去，那弟兄的家里呢，开放嘛，就妈妈的给些家里吧。那你进开放的时候，那妈妈给些跟着家里的用得凶嘛。
嗯哼。
哎，妈妈给些用得的，等到这些了，怎么能就成熟了，然后地方怎么样？那俺是等到这家伙们多久才开的？房子多了嘛？
是。
那嘛，房子少了。这一次用电这个呢，就没有了。去年的时候这个呢，用电这个没有差的。
当时学的。
当时学业当时那行情。
不劳碌。So, he said, in Tibetan culture, the custodians of Tibetan culture.The Buddhist monks and nuns, like Geshe-la is, Geshe-la represents, such a person, and who lay Tibetan people turn to for spiritual, education, spiritual growth, spiritual attainment. And, for example, the Dalai Lama is a shining example of, Buddhist spiritual quality, where you practice ethics, Buddhist ethics of non-violence, and Buddhist ethics of giving. Don't you think that Tibet has lost our country? Tibetans have lost their country because of non-violence, because of being too generous, even giving your country to other people.
今年比较多的就是今年啊，多长的白蚁等等，就是刚刚切掉的啊，小的他们个往前说去了去了我们的啊，他们就开发商也去切的，他那个两年代的，西藏里面那个的顶级一些的马种嘛，那那个顶级一个呢，就是。
So this question is quite hard to answer or to give a satisfactory answer. However, I would say yes, Tibetans have both lay Tibetans and ordained Tibetans are highly religious people.And they have become too focused on Buddhist spiritual practice. And as a result, as a nation, we didn't educate the common people, particularly in modern areas of modern subjects and so on. So maybe this is still there. Then, secondly, I would say, you know, this Tibetan and, what's the legend to serve? Epic. What? Epic story. Tibetan epic called Geshe, you know, Geshe? And the king was called Geshe, and there was one Abu Tusunsun.But now, you know, I don't know, please. Could you? Yeah, could you? Do you know this? I don't know the story. 现在可能现在的不是。OK。So, anyway, in the epic stories of a Gesser and a Ling Gesser, there was this called a character called Abu Chutong, ill-tempered troublemaker, and it is he who causes a lot of problems, due to which makes the king, the main character, to do things and therefore become successful and therefore become widely renowned. In the same way, I compare the troubles in Tibet due to China. If China has not come to Tibet and has not created the problem, then the Dalai Lama, who is now is so well known in the world, so successful in the world, wouldn't have this success. So anyway, what he says is, the trouble made in Tibet by China is a blessing in disguise for the world to experience the person of the Dalai Lama and to experience some of his spiritual wisdom. So I see it's a good thing.
저는
So maybe, you know, people who have experienced the wisdom of the Dalai Lama maybe need to bow to Chinese and say, which will turn to you and express your gratitude. So, during Buddha also had his own challenges. His own half-brother called Devadatta, who was a total cynic and highly skeptical of everything Buddha did. And he really created trouble for Buddha. He portrayed Buddha in all possible bad light. And then Buddha had to act. As a result, Buddha became more successful. So, you know, bad characters, the demons, and the bad characters are good for the main character, for the success of the main character, is it? Anyway, we can't blame, for example, Chinese or the communist China for everything that has gone wrong in Tibet. Tibetans, the way Tibetans have suffered all this time is we put it down to collective bad karma on the part of Tibetans. When did we collect them? Where? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. So we are responsible for what we have experienced. And communist China became contributing factors, incidental contributing factors. So we can't blame Chinese altogether. We have got ourselves to account for.
이
말은 이제 그 자체 때문에
저 그
미래를 좀 노래를 읽은 걸로 봐. So, Geshe-la asked them or asked some. Isn't that the case? That's what I feel about the question you asked me. But each person has a different interpretation on this issue. Yes.
The other side of being,
pardon?
The other side of being positive with this massive earthquake that's happened in Tibet region now.
Yes.
So if the Chinese haven't been that available, haven't invaded, and they're so available that their top medical staff have gone in and are helping them, so that's another thing. There's a positive aspect to that negative looking thing, don't you think?
Long did Jimmy barely yawning. And the cousin, Jim is little bit down with it. And church, there's a power yak, doesn't your yakana cast it at two cent cousin. Then you just bird time should be captured or something. Some Jimmy, the Jimmy Bill limit, like some Jill, anything Jabba says, or what? Jimmy Bill and Malay, and I'm Gabby, you know what? And Jimmy and Chief, that's two things because of Mammy Town, and it's called Cotton Lager, can't you go, Tamba Nam Shin Chick, Bush, Mamma, and Nerva, first time to look at Marais. Jim, Jimmy, all shorty, I put a Marais there, and she canal, Shungi, and it's a girl, she took because of Ron Jagger, Robert Javanash, Jobwit Javanash, Shin Chick, how many songs do you say? Те я лекта чати мэр сон дуусэр.
Дэми те лон те кандай кэм мэр нэка руа шири те те явани нэ утон мэс. Те на те мэр те мэр те инэ эрэда тэйон та дэми те лэ мэр руа шири те ли бэка хама камба тэрэ гамба рэ нэма дока шага рэ. Эдю гамба рэ кумба вор те дюма гамба рэ.
I see your point, but I wouldn't accept everything you say about that. They are doing their best, but not as efficiently or as well as expected of the communist efficiency. If China hadn't come to Tibet, that part of Tibet wouldn't have had to live in mud brick on the dwellings. Tibetans in those areas are nomads. So they removed from pasture land to pasture land. They live in tent. So there was no, there wouldn't have been a situation where their own dwelling, poor condition, poorly constructed dwelling would have been the reason for their death.
ロパ言われて、ちくて、あ、見えかさ。たまんで、しかさ、しとん、しじろげ、にじ。あね、あれ。てだて、でせそんで、て、てのろだ、たんだて、あ、てすんだか。け。あ、けくじょんで、ロパ考えば言われば。てだ、ロパてすぐ言われるかもやばとしげめ。あ、かまびちゅじゃんけて、てんで。
I, in a way, would say this way. this tragedy where a lot of Tibetans have died was a result of a Chinese policy where nomads were made to live, settlement where they have to have their own dwelling, and changing pasture land into agricultural land, and there's one third policy, I've forgotten, should I say. And since they were forced to give up their pasture nomadic lifestyle and become settled in one area, and since they didn't have the knowledge of building sound dwellings, so their dwellings just crumbled.
Yes, I fully agree with this thing you've said there, Yeshua. I was just trying to give a little bit of compassion towards the fact that the Chinese were available to help them. I know that the way of living was totally taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to give a little bit of compassion towards the fact that they were being helped so well at the moment.
Mm-hmm. 感谢老师，我们查证员和博物馆的主任也是的隔壁在加拿大修的是吧，我的搭档从你见了加拿大修的别人刚讲教的几个字，所以我们讲的是我不想的图图是吧。Any questions for other people here about the political thing?
Yes, yeah. The sixth remembrance.
Pardon?
The sixth remembrance
that
was mentioned. It was, you called it deity.
Deity.
Deity, sorry, remembrance.
Yeah.
And you said it was referring to thinking about celestial beings.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand it because I thought they had their downfall eventually when they're, even though they're in that realm for eons, lifetime, they had their downfall because they, you know, it's not quite where to reach enlightenment.
Yeah.
So I don't quite understand the remembrance of it then.
Oh, wow. Significance. 结晶就是发球是什么叫的吧，发球是什么的给些人那些个就是我发那就是我发球就是我发就是什么就是他的火锅的是吧，你也他们的就是他的就可能那边的人去大家不学校的对他们没动就应该没动了那年份动了年嘛就应该按这个去他还接下来的给我们做成都就他们出来嘛的他三级给嘛阿正的他把他拖来就是嘛中间那个嘛的嘛更接近的给现在给出来。
你那个叠字不是他是叠字嘛的那个叠字不是他写嘛。其实可能他就给他把人就是。其实了解没
So, what, that's a good point. What I said was remembrance of the deity refers to remembrance of God and goddesses temporarily, okay, God and goddesses in the diadem and form realm. Because if you practice the ethics of restraining from 10 bad deeds, temporarily, we will be reborn in these realms, which is far better than, you know, as animals and so on. And ultimately, and Krishna said, I didn't say that. Didn't you, the translators, convey this meaning to them? Did I do that? There's one voice which said the translator did too. The majority of... There's one voice. In support of translator. So, remembrance of a god and goddesses in the form realm and form realm, in the desire realm and the form realm is the good picnic you had with the children in a park. And also it wasn't for all times. When you did go with your family, you had a fantastic time. Don't you feel good when you think of the good days? And similar to that. So, for example, you're on a long journey, and on the way you know there's a beautiful stopover. And don't you, when you leave home, and don't you have a good memory of a good stopover place? You look forward to getting there. Not that you want to stop there and not continue your journey. Of course, you'll continue your journey to your destination. In the same way, on our journey to Buddhahood, we experience many ups and downs. We do, on the way to Buddhahood, there are occasional times when we could be reborn in the desire realm and the form realm as God and goddesses. And when we are reborn there, we have a great time. And we could think of the time, we could fondly think of the good times, without attachment, but as a good time. It's similar to this. Any other questions? Mm-hmm. If we want to ask questions directly, so we have to do that. We have to do that meditation. Then, Skill or that ability to directly ask questions of Bodhisattva when we become free of karmic veils or karmic obscurities. And the thicker the veil, the more ordinary we see of a good person. For example, the Dalai Lama, for Tibetans, the Dalai Lama, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, is a Buddha of compassion and human manifestation. Do we, as a human now, we have seen the Dalai Lama a few times, did we see him as a Bodhisattva, or did we see him as a Buddha of compassion? We just saw him as a human leader, a leader in human form. How you see a thing, and what you see of a thing depends a lot on your perspective. And your perspective is colored, governed by varying factors. And indeed, the more we become, the more we shed these varying factors, our perspectives change. Our perspective of things change. Things become less ordinary. Things become superior. For example, some people see the Dalai Lama as a Bodhisattva. Some have even seen him as a Buddha of compassion, you know, like a Jainistic or Avalokiteshvara. But most people see him as the Dalai Lama, a human person. And the way how you relate to a person And how you see a person, let's say for the sattva, depends a lot on their own status, their own mode of existence. It depends on how pure you are in terms of your own consciousness. The purer your consciousness, the purer you see a pure king. So, Krishna says, let's stop here. We will say our... So, at the back, we have...